says in Ephesians 4 that we should no longer be children. It's okay to be children at one stage in our lives, but we need to grow up. Yeah? There are things that we did when we were kids. We can't do them anymore because we need to grow up. And we need to grow up spiritually. The Bible says, but speaking the truth in love, may we grow up in all things into him who is the head of the church. That's Jesus Christ. I'm interested in growth. If you make an investment in a bank, you're not interested in going back and taking out the same amount 5 years later as you deposited. Is that true? You want that investment to grow. God expects when he invests his life in each of us individuals that we will grow proportionally. There are things that in my life I used to struggle with when I was a young Christian. But through the power of God living in me and the truth of his word, those struggles are over because I've grown up. And I'm sure that most, if not everybody here, could give the same testimony. So we're interested in growing. We're not interested in staying the same. That's called boring. And God and church is not boring. It might be a bit challenging from time to time, but it certainly is not boring because we're looking to grow in God. We have a statement of purpose which says this: every believer can find freedom in Christ, strength through the power of the Holy Spirit, and fulfillment of their God-given purpose. So we're going to be looking at freedom, strength, and purpose. The Bible says these words: Jesus gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. When you hear that word freedom, I wonder what comes into your mind. Maybe you have moments during the day when you stop and you dream about freedom. Now, for each one of us, we may have different dreams. If you were a convicted criminal sitting in your prison cell, your dream may be to be free from that prison cell. That would be a dream of freedom. Do you agree? Yeah. I remember when I was a young lad growing up and studying, I used to dream about being free from school. Freedom was no more school, no more education, no more tests. That was my dream of freedom. Maybe if we're suffering some kind of sickness or hardship, our dream is to be free from that situation. If we are in debt financially, perhaps our dream is to one day be able to go into a store and buy something that's not on our credit card, but to be able to pull out that great big wad of green ones, as we call them, 10,000 ones or even 50,000 ones, and pay for things in cash, knowing that you didn't go into a hole in the wall and take that money out on credit. Maybe your dream is to be debt free. But Jesus said, or the word of God said this, that Jesus gave his life to purchase freedom for most people. Is that right? No? Oh, sorry. For everyone. That tells me that the freedom that God talks about is something that is available for all of us. Whatever our situation is now, whatever our life has been like in the past, whatever our dreams are of the future, God says that Jesus has paid the price for us to experience freedom. It tells me that that freedom does not come free. There is a price tag to it, which we will consider later on. And then in the book of Psalm, the Bible says that the Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. Does that not give us a little insight as to how God views us and what God wants to do for us? I wonder whether we are willing to accept that today we might just be in a prison. And God wants to bring us freedom. Sometimes it's easier to see the prisons that other people are in. Am I right? You can see that the person you work with, who always gets angry when things go wrong, you can see that they want to be delivered, or they need to be delivered from that prison of anger. Maybe your husband or your wife doesn't bring you the love that you're looking for, and you may think that they are in a prison where they're so mean with their emotions and their affections. And sometimes we can see the prison that other people are in, but not our own. But the Word of God says that the Lord brings freedom to the prisoners. The first step of freedom is to know and to acknowledge what it is that we need to be set free from. You know, there are people, many, many people, who have heard about the love of God for them. They have heard of what Jesus Christ has done for them. And yet they refuse to accept that they need to be set free. And they will go through life, and sad to say, they may well die as prisoners when the Lord has said, I want to bring you freedom. I have paid the price for your freedom. The first step is to acknowledge and to know what it is that we need to be set free from. What is it that God wants to bring us freedom from? You see, God does know what our prison is. Mankind has not always been imprisoned. As a matter of fact, when God created humanity, He created them in a state of true freedom. Think of the things that you struggle with on a day-to-day basis. Not for too long. You might not end up happy. Those things Adam and Eve did not struggle with when God first created them. They had perfect relationship with God. They had been made in His image. They had access to their Creator. They had been placed in a perfect environment. And they had been given the rulership of all of God's amazing creation. They knew what it was to be truly free. They knew what it was to walk in true freedom. That is the way that God had created them. That is the way that God intended. But the Bible says that on a particular day, mankind made a decision that would bring an end to their freedom. In the beauty of this creation, God had given them one rule, and they broke it. God said, if you take of that fruit, of that tree, you will surely die. And Adam and Eve took of that tree. Their eyes were open. They knew what they were doing. They deliberately and willfully chose to disobey God. And the Bible says this, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. That one act became a doorway for sin to come into humanity. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone has sinned. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what was going through the heart and the mind of God when he saw what Adam and Eve did? When they turned their backs on everything that he had given them. Greatest of all, the relationship that they had with him. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what would go through his mind? I wonder if we were in his place. I wonder what our reaction would be. What would be our response? Let's see what God's response was. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die while we were still sinners. Was God angry? Was God upset? Did God turn his back on humanity? Not so. God's heart was effectively broken through what man did, because in turning their back upon him and rejecting him, they put themselves into this prison. What is this prison? It is the power of sin. Sin came into the world, separated man from God. And so today, every single one of us here, we were born as a sinner. You may think, hang on, Pastor. A sinner is a person that does bad things. A sinner is somebody who has stolen, who has cheated, who has lied. I'm not like that. The Bible teaches us that we are not sinners because we sin. We are sinners because we have a sinful nature. Each one of us, even those beautiful babies, when they're born, are born with a sinful nature. And that's the prison that humanity is in. The response of God was not to reject us, was not to turn his back on us, but rather to do everything he could to release us from that prison. The Bible says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. The first step to us coming into freedom is to know and to acknowledge what we need to be set free from. Please don't sit there today and just because you've never murdered anybody, you've never committed adultery, you've never blasphemed against God, please don't think that you are not in a prison. If Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, if you have not accepted the freedom that God has made available to you, I have to honestly say to you, you're in a prison. You're under the power of sin. And that sin will lead to only one place. That place called hell. Eternal separation from God. You say, Pastor John, I come to hear some good news this morning. I didn't come to be told I was a sinner. I didn't come to be told I was in prison. My friend, if that is where you are, that is the best news that you can hear. Because it will help you to understand your need for a Savior. If you were in a boat in a storm, and your boat capsized, and you ended up in the sea, and you could not swim to save your life, sooner or later, you would have to acknowledge that you were going to drown and you needed help. You may say, I don't need anybody's help. I don't need anybody to rescue me. I can make it by myself. Drowning, I will never drown. Until you acknowledge that you need somebody to come and help you, you're drowning. Until we acknowledge that we are living under the power of sin, until we come to Jesus Christ and we repent of our sin and our sinful nature, we're heading on one road only, and that's to death and hell. And I'm a friend to you this morning if you've never heard that, because the message doesn't stop there. The message of freedom is not one of condemnation, but it is one where we must realize and acknowledge our state. That if Jesus Christ was to return to this earth today, which he is going to do one day, and on that day, those who belong to him, those who have repented of their sin and received him as their Savior, they will be taken to be forever with him. Those that have not, those that have said, I don't need you, Jesus. I don't need religion. I don't want that religious stuff. I had that rammed down my throat when I was a kid. I don't need it. I'm not under the power of sin. Man, I'm a free man. I can do what I want, when I want. I don't want no God telling me what I can do. On that day, my friend, you'll see lots of empty spaces around you when the believers have gone and you've been left behind. That's not what God wants. God wants you to know and to have freedom from the power of sin. He wants you to know what it is to have life on the inside of you. Not corrupted or corruptible life, but everlasting life. The life of Jesus Christ. He wants you to know what true freedom is. He wants you to experience it. And he has made every possible attempt to tell us how to gain it. 2,000 years ago, Jesus claimed the keys of our freedom. The Bible says that he went into hell and he took the keys of death and hell from Satan. Why? So that we can be free. The Bible says that God raised him from the dead into a new life, an eternal life. And that is the life that he gives us today. You say, well, if it was 2,000 years ago since God did something about me being in a prison, how come so many people in the world still don't believe in him, are still in their prison? There are two answers to that one question. Number one, people have heard, but they don't believe. I pray that that's not you this morning, that you have heard of the love of God and the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ and the miraculous resurrection from the dead. But you won't believe. The other reason people are still in their prison is this. They haven't heard. But the message comes loud and it comes clear to us that God wants to give us true freedom. Freedom does not come free, as we said before. And as we shared communion together this morning, we were reminded something of that price tag that was paid so that you and I could experience this freedom. And our eyes and our mind need to look back to that place called Calvary. Calvary was that small hill outside of Jerusalem where on one day three crosses were erected. And on the center cross, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the perfect man, was crucified. And we can think of all the pain and the suffering physically and mentally and emotionally that Jesus Christ endured for us. But the greatest suffering was when he was made into sin. When he took in himself the sin that we have committed, and God, his Father, punished him. Freedom is not found in some political statement or belief. Freedom, true freedom, is not found when I can do what I want when I want to. Freedom is not in a state where I have removed everybody else from around me who disagrees with me. That's called solitary confinement. Freedom is when we first acknowledge our need to be set free. And then we discover that there is a loving Savior who has paid the price to bring us into true freedom. And as we look at Calvary, as we look at Jesus hanging on that cross, we're not looking at a criminal who is dying for his wrong. We're looking at a perfect man dying in the place of who? You and me. And we see some amazing aspects of God's character revealed at that place. We see his holiness as he deals with sin as it's laid upon Jesus. We see his justice. God is fair. And God had to punish sin. And we see his justice as the price Jesus paid was considered by God to be sufficient. Man, that's good news. When Jesus paid the price, he paid it in full. There is no hidden small print on the contract that's going to bite at us and say, aha, we forgot to tell you about the interest. Ever had that? Yeah. You won't find that with God. Because God looks at the blood that Jesus shed, and that blood is sufficient to pay the debt of the sin of humanity. We see there the love of God for humanity as he allowed his only begotten Son to die in our place. We see his mercy towards us. The wages of sin is what? Death. Because we are sinners, we should die. But God demonstrated his mercy. He demonstrated his great mercy towards us. And he said, because my Son has died, you don't need to. We see his grace for us as he gives us life that we don't deserve. And this, my friend, is the message of freedom. Freedom that only God can give. Freedom that happens on the inside of us and that affects the whole of our lives. Freedom from what? freedom from the power of sin. There is no freedom that can compare with this. Even if you were in financial debt that you could never dream of being free of, and somebody paid your debt, the freedom that God gives over and from the power of sin cannot be compared to any other. Where we can live day by day in the knowledge that we stand right before God through what Jesus Christ has done. Freedom from guilt. Freedom from shame. Where we don't have to hide ourselves just in case someone reminds us of what we have done wrong. When Jesus died on that cross, he took all our shame. He took all our guilt. He removed all condemnation against us. And the Bible says if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. Saved from the power of sin. Saved from an eternity away from God. Saved to be people that have relationship with God. You see, we're talking about a heart change. Not a change on the outside. We're not asking you to come and sit on that seat every Sunday. That's not what being a Christian is. We're not asking you to buy yourself a nice big Bible and carry it around with you and make sure you read it every single day, morning and night. We're not asking you to make sure you pray diligently and religiously, an hour in the morning and an hour at night. You can do all of those things and you can still be in a prison. We could go into a local prison and we could go to a convicted criminal and we could say to him, "My friend, you're free to go." And he would walk, in theory, a free man. Maybe you have a big financial debt today, and I bring my wad of money and I pay your debt off, and you would be debt free. The problem is, unless there is a heart change, that criminal could reoffend and end up back in jail. Unless there is a heart change, a person that has got themselves into debt can go back into debt. And if Jesus had just paid for our sin and said to us, "There we go, I've paid for your sin. There's no more debt, no more charge." That would have been great. But how many of you know that we could go on sinning unless there's a heart change? For the person that's in financial debt, there needs to be a heart change. Something that changes on the inside, that takes away the desire, the want, the need, or the making of mistakes to get into debt. The good news is this, that as well as paying for our sin, God also offers us a real heart change. You see, he doesn't just pay for the sin. He actually offers to take out and away that old sinful nature by which we find it so easy to do wrong. And in exchange, he offers to give us a new heart, a new nature. The Bible says this: if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. A Christian is not just somebody who has learnt to be a good boy or a good girl. A lot of people will tell you that. A Christian is not just somebody who's had the debt of sin taken away. A lot of people will tell you that. A Christian is somebody who's experienced a heart change. The old has gone, the Bible says. The sinful heart, the sinful nature, Paul says, was nailed and crucified on the cross at Calvary with Jesus. The life that I now live, he says, is no longer mine, but Christ living in me. I'm a Christian. I've had my sin forgiven. I love God. I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation. Are you a new creation? Have you had a heart change? That's what it means to be set free. That's what it means to be taken out of that prison of the power of sin. So many people have said to God, God, forgive me. God, I'm sorry. God, help me to be better. And God says, I want you to receive Jesus as your Lord and as your Master. I want you to receive him to live on the inside of you. I want to take your old sinful nature. I want to give you a new one. So many people profess to be Christians and yet are still struggling with things relating to their old nature. That's why we baptize people. We're having a baptism service soon. At the end of this month, we hope. And we're going to baptize some people. If you haven't been baptized as a believer, you need to be. Because baptism is like burial. If I was to die right now, please don't leave me lying around. Because I will stink. Some of you thinking, no, you weren't thinking that. I will stink. I will start to decompose. That hasn't happened, by the way. I'm still moving. It hasn't happened. And I will attract disease. Am I right? What will you do when I die? Joe's going to pray for me to come back to life. I know that bit. But what do you do with dead people? You bury them. What we need to do when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord is we need to bury that old nature. Some people say, well, no. Let's wait and see if their confession is real. In other words, we're saying, let's leave their old nature hanging around for a while, Mark. Let's see if we can attract a bit more sin. I don't want that. I want my old nature dead and buried. 6 foot or more. 2 meters. That's why we baptize people. To recognize that old sinful nature is no longer part of us. Because we're new creations. We're free men and women. Free from what? Free from the power of sin. The Bible says sin no longer has dominion over us. Because I don't have a sinful nature. And if you're a believer and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, you have a new nature. You're a new creation. Sometimes I wish this new creation could keep time better. We're nearly done. The Bible says this in Colossians. It says, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Amen. This is the freedom that God offers us. And I pray that every single person here this morning that's listening to me will hear the truth of God's word. Next week we're going to talk about how as Christians we live in that freedom. How we are law enforcers. The Bible says that if the Son sets you free, then you're free nearly all the time. No, it doesn't. It says you are free indeed. How do we as believers live that freedom indeed? If you want to know that, you're going to have to come back next week. How to live in that place of freedom. How to wake up every morning And instead of thinking, I wonder how long it's going to be before I sin. Now, we may not do that literally, but how many of you sin and you're not surprised? Don't put your hands up. Yeah. I can see the hands going up. Yeah, we sin and we're not surprised. But if the Spirit of God's living in us, and if I'm a new creation, if Christ lives in me, the hope of glory. I'm starting to preach next week's sermon. I'm giving you a little taster, a little hors d'oeuvre. Praise God. This is true freedom that we're talking about. It's not fabricated. It's not my imagination. It's actually the Word of God. And guess what? God can't lie. And there's people here who are living testimonies of this true freedom that God gives us. They once were dead in sin. They once were dead to God. They once lived under the power of sin, but now they live by the power of the true and living God as Jesus Christ dwells on the inside of them. And this is the message that's available to us today. And if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord, if you've never come to Him to say, Jesus, I am sorry that I have sinned. I know and I acknowledge that I am a sinner from the inside. But I know, God, that You love me so much. And You've given Jesus to be my Savior. I receive Him as my Lord, as my Master. I turn my back on my old life. And I step out of that prison as a child of God, as a free man, as a free woman. My friend, that freedom is for you this morning. That freedom is for you this morning. You may be thinking, Pastor John, you don't know what my life is like. No, you're right, I don't. But God does. And He doesn't change His message. You say, Pastor John, you don't know what I've said to God. You don't know what my life has been like. You don't know the sin that I've done. You don't know that I've told God I don't need Him. Unless you tell me, I don't know that. I don't need to know. God does know though. And He still says, come on. It's time to come home. It's time to get free from that prison of sin. It's time to walk a free person. It's time to walk in that liberty wherewith Christ wants to set you free. I invite you, God invites you, to come to Him to receive Jesus as your Lord. When the service is finished, we're going to offer to pray for people. And if you've never given your life to Jesus, I ask that you come and receive prayer to do that. Pray together with us in Jesus' name.